And good evening to everybody out there in podcast land. This is Tom, and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 79, and beautiful springtime weather that we're having here in Chicago, and I can't stop talking about it. I really can't. It is just absolutely gorgeous. It's been a little chilly the last couple of days, but overall, it has been so nice out. It's been great for walking home from work, which I've been doing on a regular basis. Just incredibly, incredibly nice out. Have some big news this show. But before I get to that, I just wanted to give you an update on the work that's going on in the alleyway behind my building. Because I know that everybody has been riveted to their computers to hear what's going on back there. And to be honest, I don't know. So that is very, very mysterious. It began with a trench being dug down the center of the alleyway. It's not a very big trench. It's about maybe an inch and a half deep and about 4 or 5 inches wide. And it's right in the middle of the alleyway going the entire length from Glenwood, which is the road on the far west side of the alleyway, all the way to the end of the alleyway where it comes to a dead end. The alleyway actually comes to a T, but that's where the trench ends. So I'm not sure what it is. It doesn't seem to be a trench meant for drainage, because we don't usually have a drainage problem in my alleyway. And it doesn't make any sense to actually have a drainage ditch if there's nowhere to drain to. So, very mysterious little trench going down the alley. I can only assume that they're planning on doing some more work there, but for the moment, they've taken away all the equipment. They've taken away the barriers and so forth that were there. And it's just back to normal. So now the trench is filling up with leaf litter and garbage and all that fun stuff. So I guess we'll see what's coming. They do seem to have finished the road work as well. The road work that was going on in front where they were reinforcing the water mains. And we'll just start to see in about a month or so when the rain starts to really hit, the April showers that everyone talks about, the ones that bring May flowers. And we'll see if that actually makes any difference. I don't know if they're doing anything with the sewer or whether it's specifically for the water mains that carry the drinking water. I'm really not sure. So, well, I guess we'll find out. So maybe the trench has something to do with that, but I have very serious doubts about that. Anyhow, that's what's going on as far as the construction in the alleyway. So for the last month or more, I've been talking about the live show and been talking about the preparations I'm making, talking about the equipment that I've gotten, talked about pretty much every aspect of it as it has happened. I'm very pleased to announce that the live show is actually going to be premiering on Saturday, April 24th at 10 a.m. Central Time, which would be 11 a.m. on the east coast of the U.S., so that'd be eastern United States, and that would be at 4 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon Greenwich Mean Time. So for those of you who are in the U.K., the live show will be airing at 4 to 5 p.m. on United Kingdom Radio. It will be able to hear it at unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And of course, even though the live show will be appearing on United Kingdom Radio, the live show will be recorded, and I will also put it out on this RSS stream so that people can hear it if they manage to somehow miss the show. And it will be a Skype-in show, and then the Skype address that you would actually call into is United Kingdom Radio. Now, the Skype channel is used by all of the hosts on United Kingdom Radio. So it's used by, you know, Chris Reardon on Mondays and Paul Edwards and Lee Mills and whoever else is on that station. So if you see United Kingdom Radio on Skype and it's actually turned on, it isn't necessarily going to be me there. It might be another show, but, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't call up those shows as well. In fact, it'd be a lot of fun to call up those shows as well. But that's the big announcement. The live show is going to be premiering on April 24th. And there's a couple reasons why I chose that date specifically. The first of the reasons is because April 29th, I believe, is the first anniversary of Tom Harris USA. So we've been on for almost a year, which is, that's to me, absolutely amazing, because I never thought that it would actually make it for an entire year. But here we are, and I'm, you know, getting better equipment, and things are happening, and yeah, so I mean, it's pretty exciting. So as part of the first anniversary of Tom Harris USA, we will be starting this live show on the nearest Saturday to the first anniversary, which is April 24th. Still not quite sure what to call the show, and I've been thinking about various names for the show. I might do a name the show contest. I really don't know. Have a couple of games that I'm working on for the show that in case we need to do something. My big thing, though, is I really would like people to call in. I really want callers to call the show and chat, because that makes the hour go so much faster. And I've noticed this even when I've called other people's shows. And I, 2 weeks ago, I called Chris Reardon's show. He does a live show on Mondays, and it starts at 6 o'clock in the bleeding morning here. But before the time change in the UK, it was actually at 7 a.m., which was a little bit better for me. And I called. It's amazing how long the time goes just so quickly. And I was only on for, 15 to 20 minutes, but that's still 15, 20 minutes went really, really fast. So, I mean, my biggest fear with a live show, and I've said this before, is that I'll get on the air and nobody will call. And I really want people to call. And it's not even just even calling, but messaging on Skype if you don't have a microphone. And in contributing to the show in some way, that would be ideal. So once again, the Tom Harris Live show will be starting on April 24th, which is a Saturday, and will air every Saturday from 4 to 5 UK time on UnitedKingdomRadio.co.uk. So hooray! There are actually concrete progress being made on the show, and I'm still putting bits and pieces together, and hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting, and I was talking about this with Scott the other day, Scott Mitchell from the Scott Podcast. And one of the things about this show is that, it's a half-hour show, but it sometimes can take me, 2 to 3 hours to put one of these half-hour shows together. The reason why that is because of editing. I edit my show heavily. And I know that people, when I play their clips out on my show, I sometimes edit them as well, but I never edit for content. I always edit just for time, and I take out pauses, and I take out ums, and so forth. And I do the same for me. I would say that nobody on the show is more heavily edited than I am. So the live show is going to be very interesting for me, because I do edit myself so much, and I'm going to have to be very, very careful that I don't just kind of lapse into babble, because that does happen. And I, on this pre-recorded show, I can just go back and edit it, and you'll be none the wiser. You won't know that I babbled on for 15 minutes about absolutely nothing. Of course, I do that anyway, but you wouldn't know it, because I only air a half an hour of that babble at a time. But this will be an hour show and be a live show, so I won't be able to edit myself. Anyhow, I hope everybody calls. I would love to hear from people. Once again, it'll be on UnitedKingdomRadio.co.uk. The Skype address for that show will be United Kingdom Radio. Now, Doug from Akeley, who's a friend of the program, who writes to us fairly regularly. Now, Doug had asked about the music show that I talked about a couple of shows ago. Now, that is still a possibility. I may still do a music show. I really don't know. One of the problems with doing a music show, of course, is the licensing. And I'm not sure if the rules for the licensing here in the States are the same as they are in the UK, because I don't think that Ustream has the licenses in place, at least not from the American side. So I'm really not sure how that would work. I suppose there would be the option of going like to Swish or one of these other internet stations, but there's also the question of time. So the music thing is still something I'm thinking about, because I've done that before, and I know that, an hour show, a music show, oh, that goes like that. Just really, really fast. And, if conversation lags, you play a song, and that makes things a lot easier. But that, so far that's not happening. We'll find out as time goes on. Maybe that'll happen. It is still a possibility, though. I haven't given up on that. Now, the other reason why I chose the 24th to premiere the show is because I didn't want to start the show, like, next week and then have to take a week off. And the reason why I would have had to take a week off is because Pete and I are actually going to the big comic book convention here in Chicago on the 17th, the Saturday, the week before the show premieres, and C2E2 at the McCormick Place, and that'll be pretty exciting. And while we're there, we're actually going to try to hook up with Matt Kramer from the Legion of Substitute Podcasters, maybe produce sort of a team-up, a little bit of audio that we can air. I have a feeling that that would air on their show, but that's cool. I mean, it would be comic-related, and that really doesn't fit in all together with this show. This show doesn't really talk about comics all that much, but I'm looking forward to meeting Matt because I really do enjoy the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. If you're a comic book fan, and if you're particularly a Legion of Superheroes fan, you would definitely enjoy that show. I find it highly amusing. But, another point I wanted to bring up, and now this is going back to my live show, is that, you know, I talk about some pretty heavy topics on the show sometimes, some very serious things, and I have another serious thing I'm going to be talking about here in a minute. But I don't want the live show to get bogged down too much in the sort of deep topics and so forth. I do want to keep that show a little bit more, you know, lighthearted. And that isn't to say that if you want to talk about serious topics that you shouldn't call, because I'm more than happy to talk about serious topics with you. But I do want to have the atmosphere of the show be a little bit different from this show, because after all, that's your show too. I'm not the only voice that's going to be heard. At least I hope not, because that would be a very, very long hour for me to do if nobody calls. But the more lighthearted tone and topics really has been part of the concept for the live show from the very beginning. Okay, so moving along. This is kind of an audio response to another podcast, and I do apologize for that. But it's a topic that I've talked about on the program before. And in the last episode of Scott's podcast, Scott Mitchell's podcast, which you can hear at www.scottpodcast.com, he was asking again a question about atheist morality. And kind of talking about morality in general, and in particular, what is the gold standard for morality? As he puts it, what is the gold standard for morality? He talked a little bit about his own feelings on it. He talked a little bit about some of the things that Trucker Tom, from the Trucker Tom podcast, has said about morality on his program. And it's a topic that I've discussed privately with Scott, I know, and I may have actually mentioned it on this program before. I don't actually remember how deeply into it I went. I know I've mentioned it. But let's just talk a little bit about morality and how this would tie into an atheist's worldview. Now, it's really easy to fall into the trap that a lot of people fall into and say that atheism is inherently immoral or amoral. And that isn't the case, because morality does not derive from a belief in God. Now, I understand that to the evangelical Christian, all morality derives from the Bible and from their mythological God. A lot of other religions claim basically the same thing. There are variations, of course. But the bottom line, certainly a sizable chunk of the population of this planet, is this notion of morality being derived from a supernatural source and being derived from, in particular, a religious source. This doesn't make a lot of sense for a number of reasons. The first of those reasons, I'm going to go ahead and just come out right out and say it, is that in any working society, and of course, the societies that we have in this day and age are generally working societies, they all have a very similar basis foundation of morality. Now, not every culture shares the same morality. And I think that this is very important. So, for example, you have the major civilizations that came up out of the Bronze Age. You have sort of the European civilizations kind of culminating in the Roman Empire. You have the Eastern civilizations, of China and Japan. And you find a lot of the same sorts of rules in these societies. Now, the reason why I'm talking about society and I'm not really talking about religion is because morality isn't based on religion. And I know that on Trucker Tom's program, he talks a lot about morality being something that happens in the conscience. And where does conscience come from? And the implication of what Tom puts forward on his program, and I don't mean to misinterpret it, so Tom, if I am misinterpreting it, I want you to let me know, is that conscience is something which is innate in everybody, and in his opinion, probably comes from a supernatural entity of some kind. Now, I have a lot of respect for Tom's opinions. I mean, he's obviously much more conservative than I am. He has some very, I think, strange views on things, but that's okay. It's all par for the course. Tom's a nice guy, and I enjoy working with him on Plain Dudes Radio, among other things, and always liked hearing from him on this program. But I respectfully disagree with this notion of conscience being the basis of morality. Because if that were true, then you would have identical morality across every culture that's ever existed. And you don't really find that as being the case. And you can look at anthropological studies and sociological studies of various cultures that are very, very different from ours. They would have a very different sort of moral code. But the commonalities are very, very easily explained. Because it comes back to human evolution. What works for a small group. So, obviously, when you have a small group of people that is struggling in a very dangerous world to survive, you want to have sort of this general groundwork that would make things work more smoothly, because this contributes to the survival of the group as a whole. This isn't against evolution. A lot of people say that morality is actually somehow disproves evolution. But the evolutionary advantage to forming groups and to establishing sort of ground rules to contribute to the success of the group, it makes perfect sense from an evolutionary standpoint. So let's look at that for a minute. Generally speaking, there's a few basics. Stealing from your neighbor is generally considered a bad thing. Not in all cultures, though. There are some cultures that live communally. And then if you want something that one of your neighbors has, you just go and you take it. Likewise, if you have something they want, they can come and take it from you. And nobody really cares. That's the sort of societies they have. And during the major voyages of people like Ferdinand Magellan, they would run into these cultures on these islands in the Pacific, where a lot of this the sort of communal living is very common. And they would, interpret the people coming and taking stuff from the ship as being an aggressive act, when in fact they were simply acting in accordance with their own culture. They had no concept of private property. It was, because sharing things communally actually contributed to the survival of the group. And of course, in this cross-cultural clash, it led to, some bloody conflict. And this has happened over and over and over again over time. As civilizations come into contact with each other for the first time, we often have these problems. Now, that's just one example. There's a lot of other examples. I don't have, another hour to talk about that. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that when people talk about sort of common threads to between all cultures, they are really definitely overstating the commonalities. There's actually a lot more differences than people realize. And these are things that are culturally determined. And therefore, I mean, it makes the perfect case that morality isn't something that comes from the outside. Morality is something that forms in societies. It is something that is culturally determined and not something that has been imposed upon us by some sort of a God thing. And if you were living in one of these potlatch cultures, or you're living in, you know, Japan in the Middle Ages, you would have a very different moral code than perhaps you would have if you were living as a Jewish person in the Middle East in 2nd century BC. And the fact that we derive a lot of our moral codes from these sort of archaic religious works, and when I say us, I generally mean those of us in the West, those of us who are of European descent. Obviously, this is something that happened a long time ago. This is not something that we really think about. Where did this come from? And when we do think about where did it come from, there is a marked tendency to think of it as having always existed, because this does go back for thousands of years. But that's not true for every culture. And it's too easy to get caught up in this whole idea that, well, our culture is better than everyone else. You know, this whole idea of exceptionalism for our own Judeo-Christian, Puritan, English common law background, and think of ourselves as being somehow innately superior to every other culture out there. That isn't the case. I mean, every culture is different. Every culture responds to things differently. But culture is where our conscience comes from. We are trained in the ways of our culture when we're not aware of it, when we're babies, when we're small children. We are taught to feel bad when you do certain things. There are certain behaviors that are punished, and there are some behaviors that are rewarded. And through that process, we are socialized into the dominant culture, the culture in which we live. God has nothing to do with it. God doesn't exist. This is all done by us as part of this greater society. And culture is where our morality comes from. In our culture, stealing is wrong. So if you steal something, you are conditioned to feel guilty. And if you don't feel guilty, you are considered a sociopath. It's, you know, somebody who rejects the rules of society, an outlaw. And I think this is part of human evolution as well. People who don't conform to the rules that are created by the group for the survival of the group tend to be outcast. And I think that you'll find this among many cultures, you know, because they have a certain set of rules set up. This is the rules of the thing. If you don't conform to the rules, you're driven out or you're killed. And you can point to the whole idea, for example, of the traditional Japanese culture, the issues of life and death, which are very, very different from anything we have in our culture. When the early Westerners went to Japan back in the 1600s, they were often struck by what they saw as a very brutal society. People being killed left and right, decapitations happening constantly. There were people who were being ordered to kill themselves. Suicide was considered to be an honorable way to die. The whole idea of seppuku. And that seemed very alien to people who grew up in this Judeo-Christian world. And likewise, our ways seemed very alien to the Japanese. And that's one of the reasons why Christianity never caught on in Japan. It was just too alien for them to be able to accept. They didn't see any real value in it. And of course, it's very ironic that, you know, many people in the West used this supposed horrible, brutal, barbaric Japanese system as an excuse to go in and threaten to destroy the Japanese unless they were to open up their country to trade from the West. It's very ironic. In a lot of ways, though, that traditional Japanese culture was very, very successful. It lasted for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It created magnificent art and literature and architecture. Now, part of the problem that they had there was that they were isolated. They were on islands, and they didn't have a lot of contact with the outside world. They had some trade with Korea and China and so forth, and those were their main cultural influences. But if not for us coming and forcing the Japanese to open up their ports and so forth to the West by threat of annihilation, then they might well still be living under that culture because it worked very well for them. That is, of course, generally speaking, because it also had a lot of problems as well. But I don't want to get too far off the topic here. So I want to go back here to the idea that Scott brought forward. What is the gold standard for morality? And the answer is there is no gold standard for morality. Every culture determines its own morality according to the rules of its own system. Now, it just so happens that in our system we are unfortunately, in my opinion, influenced by a handful of obscure religious cults from the Middle East, and that has really, by and large, shaped the Western culture, and of course I mean, generally speaking, European culture, which has been heavily influenced by these foreign ideas that came from, Israel and so forth. And so the gold standard that we have is based on our culture as filtered through this whole sort of puritanical viewpoint that led to the creation of our country. The values of Americans, I need not explain, are different from the values of, say, the Germans, or the British, or the French, or the Italians. They're different. They think of things in different ways than we do. People in Scandinavia have this weird ideas about America. Of course, that's a lot of it's based on our media that gets over there. And of course, they see, American crime shows and they think that all of America is like that. But it is true that there are, basic cultural differences that even though we are more alike than different, I would say, but, the various European cultures and us, that doesn't mean that we're the same. And the values are the same. Obviously, in Europe, the idea of the good of the group is still a very, very strong idea. Here in America, we're all about individualism. We're all about every man for himself. We're all about, I'm going to get what's mine, screw you. And that's not something that you find as often in the European cultures, because we're not built on that same spirit, the pioneer, loner spirit. We didn't really have much choice. We were kind of stuck here on the new continent by ourselves. We had to rely on ourselves. That's not something that they've really had to deal with in Europe for a very, very long period of time. So it's food for thought. But the bottom line is, there is no gold standard for morality. It is the result of the culture in which you are raised. Period. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist. We all have that same foundation, that same cultural foundation in this country, and the social mores of the culture in which we were raised determine what we consider to be morally valid. And these things change over time. It's not set in stone, as it would be if it were being determined by some sort of a god. You feel bad when you hurt somebody else because of what you were taught. Don't hit the other children. Think of how you'd feel if you got hit yourself. Nothing wrong with that. And with that, I'm out of time. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off for now. Thanks for listening. As always, I appreciate your feedback and your emails and so forth. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. Don't forget, the live show starts on April 24th. 4 p.m. UK time, and you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. And with that, I am out of time, so I gotta go. Thanks for listening, and this is Tom in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time.